Thank you, Brother Daniel. I appreciate the opportunity once again to come to Valley View Baptist Church, and certainly always count it an honor to stand. And realizing tonight that I'm not anybody, I'm nobody tonight, but I'm glad he's somebody. Appreciate this church. I appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate all these churches that's coming down and making an effort to support the meeting. And that's a blessing, I know, to Brother Boone, Sister Sherry, and also to my heart as well. And don't take that lightly, and appreciate the Lord. And I know, as Brother Boone, we sing a song sometimes, send the rain, send the fire, send the Holy Ghost in power. It's all's in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And there's nothing any of us men, we realize that, can do. But certainly we stand in need of prayer, amen, every time we get up here, because we want the Lord to do His work, amen. So anytime you preach or any man of God standing up here, pray for him, amen, because there's a spiritual warfare that's going on, because we don't know hearts, but God knows hearts. Tonight, and we're honored tonight to just be a small part of this meeting, and just trying to follow the Lord best we know how tonight. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And Brother Boone said tonight, and I did. My wife ironed about 5 shirts for me, and they were hanging over on a closet door. And I had all my stuff. I was proud. I had it laid out on the bed. And I had my getting ready stuff at the end of the bed. Not on the bed, on a hope chest. And I made about, I don't know how many trips up and down those stairs. So when I looked at that bed and it was empty, I said, boy, I've got it loaded. Amen. But I'm glad there's a Walmart. Amen. I'm glad for that. And got my word. I heard that there was a preacher maybe at the camp that forgot his Bible, and his daughter had to bring his Bible to him before he preached. I don't know who that was. Do you know who that was, Brother Boone?
No.
Okay, all right, brothers. No, somebody just told me that, you know.
Bible, notebook, glasses.
There you go. Amen. Well, it reminds me of this old preacher and this young preacher, and they were at this meeting, and the young preacher was to go first, and that young preacher, he couldn't find his notes, and that old preacher sat over very calmly, Brother Paul, and he said, just trust the Lord, just trust the Lord. So that young preacher grabbed that Bible, and he got up there, and boy, he started preaching. I mean, he started preaching. And then they start singing that old, seeing that older preacher start squirming a little bit. And when he got done, he come down on that front row, and that old preacher said, son, you preach my message. That young preacher looked at him and said, trust the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 15. If you found your place, if you'll show me that by respect and honor the Word of God standing tonight. This is very familiar scripture, this parable here, and this part of the parable starting in verse 11 As I was listening to the brother sing tonight, he was talking about a prodigal, and we know that as the prodigal son. I'm not going to take all the time to read this, all these verses up front, but you know this story. There was a certain man, the Bible said, who had two sons. The Bible calls one a younger son and one an elder son. And there was a younger son that requested his inheritance. And basically what he was telling his daddy and was, I wish you were dead. That's basically what he was telling him there. And of course, his daddy gave him his inheritance. And he took that inheritance and went into a far country, the Bible says, and wasted his substance on riotous living or sinful living with harlots and things like that. But what we find pretty soon, the Bible says here, right there in verse number 14, it said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And certainly he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And we know that he basically, once he spent all, he found himself on rock bottom. That's what the world will do. The world will use you up. As long as you have money, as long as you have things, they'll use you up and they'll leave you on rock bottom. That's where he found himself, in a hog pen, in a pig pen. That's where this prodigal found himself. And you know the story there as he makes his way home. He comes to himself, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But where I want to pick up tonight in verse number 25 is where I want to read through verse number 28. Notice in your Bibles, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. I want you to notice verse number 28. Bible says, speaking of the elder son, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know the story. I'm not going to go back and read all this tonight by way of introduction, but his brother was a prodigal. His brother went into a far country. No doubt his daddy, he watched for him, I believe daily, for his son to return. And his son returned. This elder boy's brother, the younger brother returned. And they celebrated, Brother Boone, they celebrated. I want you to notice his attitude in verse 28. The Bible said, and he was angry and would not go in. I want to preach on this thought with the Lord's help tonight. The blessings the prodigal's brother missed. We like to talk about the younger son. There was another prodigal in this story. His heart wasn't right. I find that he missed some blessings. Brother Brian, would you pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, Lord. We're so thankful.
Help us, Lord, tonight.
We have to be in your house tonight.
Yes, Lord.
I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that we would be overwhelmed by your presence here tonight.
Please, Lord.
Be transformed today. And Lord, we just need to hear from
you. Yes, Lord.
We want to thank you in advance. Use Brother Dwayne, give him liberty to speak and preach to us this evening, Lord.
Help us, Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother, for that good prayer. Thank you for standing. The blessings the prodigal's brother missed. And we've heard this story preached and taught many times, and certainly the focus in this story, there's a father, there's two sons, and a lot of messages have been preached on this younger son. But I want to bring your attention to the elder son tonight, the one that stayed home. The one that was still there with his father. But it shows me that even though he was still there with his father, his heart was not right. His attitude was not right. And I got thinking about how many blessings we've missed because of a bad attitude. How many blessings have we missed in the church, in our lives, because of hurt feelings? It seems like in life that you can go to your workplace and people could talk to you any way they want to, and we go back. But it seems like we know we're not expecting that in the church. We don't come to church to get hurt, amen. We come to church to get help. But as I thought about this, even though he was there with his father, his heart was not right, and he missed a blessing. And I believe that we're the same way, and many times that those that are here and they're faithful to the house of God and they're laboring, and I know it's true in many churches, it seems like there are certain ones, those faithful ones, that carries the load, amen. If there's a work day, it's usually those same ones that you can count on. And sometimes as you labor, sometimes you get tired. Let's be honest. Sometimes in this walk of life, amen, even doing it, have the right heart. There's sometimes it's easy to get our eyes upon somebody else. It's in that time, Sister Sherry, that we're tired. And it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to get the wrong heart and get the wrong attitude, amen, for why we're doing what we're doing. And as I was reading this, we can see through the eyes of faith as this elder son was making his way through the field. And as I pictured this through the eyes of faith, we can see him as he's approaching his home, as he could hear the music, as he could hear the dancing, as he could hear the celebration. I can imagine as this young man, as he made it there to the house, how he inquired of his servant there, and no doubt as he approached the home, his curiosity level, it grew. I believe that, and because he was inquisitive, he asked his servant what these things meant. If you notice there in verse number 27, the servant said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And listen, you would think that this brother, as he's seen his daddy and his father, as he would hurt for his younger brother, amen, over time. And no doubt he saw his daddy looking down the road every day expecting his son to return. And you would think that he would want to join in the blessings of God. I want to give just, I don't mean to be personal tonight, but my brother wouldn't mind me sharing this. We were raised certainly in the same home, and we were raised under the same preaching, and old men of God that would stand and preach the word of God, and he knew what was right, and he got saved under the old gospel tent off exit 5 where the big old cross is there. I'll never forget, I had a praying grandmother, and my brother was out, and he wasn't saved at that time, and he had left the house, and he went out, and he was partying it up and things like that. And my grandmother, she bought him a Bible. She bought him one of them old King James Bible, and she gave it to him. And I'll never forget, that man of God got up that night and he preached a powerful message under that old gospel tent on hell. And man, boy, the power of God was there. And my brother, I remember him weeping and going up the aisle, and he got gloriously saved. And you talking about an old time shout. How many of you ever heard that old time shout, them old saints of God years ago? Hey, man. And I remember that. A lot of folk don't believe in the old time shout. It's real. Hey, man. It's real. Hey, man. Them dear saints of God years ago get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. They put their trust in him. Man, I've heard it where when I was a kid, you'd peep over the pews, man. Your hair standing up on the back of your head right there. It was real. But My granny, I've never heard her shout before, but she shouted. She's sitting in the heavenlies, amen, that night that my brother got saved. And he got in there serving the Lord for many years, Sunday school teacher. He knew the Word of God. But I pastored my brother for several years, he and his wife, and they went through some problems. And the next thing I knew, little by little, he'd start missing services. He'd start missing a Wednesday night. He'd start missing Sunday nights. And I'd reach out to him, and he said, oh, I've got to work. And he owns a business. And the next thing you knew, he was having problems with his wife, and then they separated and they divorced. And listen, he got involved with this woman, and she was not a Proverbs 31 woman. She was what I call a Proverbs 5 woman. Amen. And she was not good for my brother, but he had a relationship with her for about 5 or 6 years. And I remember during that time, he was a prodigal. He knew the Lord. He knew what was right. He knew what was in the Word of God. And I remember many times, not only as his brother, but as his pastor. I remember he used to play the guitar for, pick the strings off a guitar, Brother Paul. And I remember going up and I'd pray over at amp. I would pray over where he would stand. And listen, it burned my heart. And there were times in my life that I thought I would go to him, but God said, no, you just pray for him. He knows what's right. And in the flesh, I was going to go to him and I'd say certain things, but I'd find myself on my face praying for him. And I know my daddy was burdened for him. I know my mom was burdened for him. There have been many prayers that went up for my brother who was a prodigal. And I, as I was studying this, I got thinking about this elder son. And I was picturing him as he was walking towards his home, and I can't imagine why he wasn't excited about his brother coming home. But it shows us that he missed a blessing. And I'll talk a little bit more about my brother as we go through this. But I want you to see tonight, because of his wrong attitude, number one, he missed his brother's repentance. Look there in verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And listen, my friend, we know this story, and this younger son, I believe he was a prodigal a long time before he went into the far country. His heart was just not right. I pastored quite a bit of youth, and I've heard folk over the years, and I heard a youth say just the other day, they believe grass is greener out there on the other side of home. And they believe that when they get out from the oversight of mom and daddy, they think everything is going to be better. And you see, he had that prodigal heart, and he longed for what was down in that far country. And when an individual's heart gets like that, it's only God that can change a heart like that. Amen. And he had his sight on that far country. And it wasn't long after he got his inheritance, he went down and headed down to the far country. And he wasted his substance with riotous living and sinful living. And it seems like when a person gets out of the will of God and a prodigal, listen, they start looking at sin differently. And if you ever, I know these pastors understand what I'm talking about, and it's the same. You can start seeing it in your congregation. They'll start missing a little bit, and church is just not a priority like it used to be in their life. And it's just a slow, gradual slope, and you'll reach out as an under shepherd and try to encourage them because you want victory in their life. But my friend, when they set their heart to that and they find themselves in the far country, before too long, if somebody says something to them, the first thing they want to say, well, they're judging me. They're judging me. And the next thing you know, well, they'll start justifying their sin. Well, what I do, that is a sin, but what they do at the church, it's a sin as well. And listen, friend, they're just trying to make themselves feel
better. They get down that far country and they're having a good time. And the Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it just don't last. And listen, many of us remember what our lives were before the Lord saved us. And listen, I would dare say that most of us would not want to put our lives up on a screen and show any individual about some of the things that we've done in our lives. But listen, once you've heard the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart and drawed you unto repentance and you got gloriously saved by the grace of God, the Bible said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. There's a desire on the inside of you. That's why you've got a desire to come to Sunday school to learn the Word of God. That's why there's a desire for you to pick up the Word of God and to read and study the Word of God. That's why you desire to hear the preached Word of God, that you may grow. You may be ignorant of a lot of things, and thank God He is long-suffering. You may do certain things for a period of time, but one day you're reading in the Word of God and you realize that it's wrong. Or maybe a preacher standing and preaching, you realize it's long or wrong, and you say, God, I'm sorry about that. I've been doing that, see? And then we're not ignorant of it anymore. And that's the thing. Once you're saved by the grace of God and you've been under the preached Word and the taught Word, you're not ignorant of those things anymore. And so when you go down in that far country, you find yourself down there doing things contrary to the Word of God, doing things that you know the Word of God says wrong. And you're not going to enjoy it like somebody that's lost in their sin. Why? Because you've got the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And every time you go to do that, you may enjoy it in your flesh just for a little bit, but the Holy Spirit of God is on the inside of you and say, hey, you're my child. You know that's not right. Amen. And it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. And my brother, if he was here tonight, he would testify to you. He said, God wore me out. Even though I was out in sin, he said, there wasn't a day that I wasn't out there that I didn't know that I was doing wrong. And listen, friend, today, listen, it blessed my heart. Just here a while back, I got a call from my brother. And listen, he and that girl had broken up and after about 5 or 6 years. And then there was another lady that he was just talking to as a friend. But she started coming to the church up there. She said, whether me and you work out or not, I like this church, and I'm going to start coming here. He said, you're welcome to come. He said, I didn't have any plans. He said, I satisfied my friend if I had to raise my girls by myself. But listen, friend, God started working on his heart. I called him, and Brother C.T. Townsend had invited me down to North Augusta, and I went down there, and I hauled my brother down there. He started weeping and crying, and next thing I know, I started seeing him come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And listen, I start seeing him in tears, of course, down his cheek. He didn't live in sin and come up and get in the choir. He respected the house of God. That's what he would do. He said, I'm not there to hurt the church. He said, but I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And listen, he recognized that, and he realized that. And the next thing I know, one day I called him. He started crying. He said, God's been using the messages to deal with my heart. He said, keep on a preaching. Keep on a preaching, he said. I'm going to get married. He said, God's been wearing me out, and I need to get married. And he got married. And I said, praise God. We went over there. My uncle married him. And my friend, he just got up. And you could start seeing where he came to himself. And he recognized and he realized that he was not where God wanted him to be. And he got up in front of everybody. And he said, I know there's been a lot of prayers on my behalf. And he said, I'm sorry if I've hurt anybody. And listen, friend, he wasn't trying to justify his sin. He wasn't trying to point at somebody else and say it was her fault. He said, I'm sorry for what I've done. And the next thing I know, they got married. And the next thing I know, I called him, and He said, Dwayne, God got a hold of me and I hit the ground on my knees. And he said, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And listen, friend, you say, preacher, why couldn't you say something to him to turn that thing around? Listen, friend, there's many people that thinks us preachers are miracle workers. Listen, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, and now they call us a saint. But I'll tell you what it'll do. My friend, if you get a heavy burden for your lost loved one, or maybe that wayward one that is saved, and you get on your face before a holy God, it may not be in your timing, but my friend, in God's timing, if you're a child of God, I'm glad, thank God, they'll come to their self, my friend, and God will show them it's better in the Father's house. My friend, I find that the younger son, he repented, and the elder brother, he missed that, my friend. But not only did he miss his brother's repentance, but he missed his brother's request. Look there in verse number 18. He said, I'll rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Boy, I like that part. Verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. And there's been many people that I've dealt with in the pastorate that they had, I believe they were more sorry that they got caught than they were for what they'd done. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when you talk to them, it's always somebody else's fault. But I'll tell you, when you come to yourself and you recognize that it's you and that you made those decisions, and my friend, when you come to yourself, you'll recognize that it was Dwayne's fault. I will arise. I will go to my father. And what I want you to see tonight, his brother's desire wasn't to come back as the top sergeant. Many times when we're in this walk of life and we're in here serving God and we believe that we're being faithful to God in this walk of life and this service, we find out that sometime when folk go out a prodigal and they come back, it'd be easy sometime to get the wrong heart and say, hey, I've been in here laboring. Why, they've been out there living in sin and things like that, instead of us rejoicing in the fact that, listen, God had heard our prayers. He didn't come back on the scene, my friend, requesting to be put back at the status, my friend, as he was before. He said, the Bible said there in verse number 18, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So listen, friend, I got thinking about this younger son as he started thinking about the father's house. And the house there in the background. And as I could see his father looking out day by day as he was watching down the road. You say, preacher, why do you think that he was watching down the road? Listen, friend. I believe that he knew that one day that his son would come trudging back down the road. He expected that. And listen to me today. Aren't you glad that we serve a heavenly Father like that? I'm glad. Listen, there's been many of us down through life, we've hung our harp on a willow. There's been many of us, my friend. Listen, the Lord don't leave us. Listen, if you're saved, you're saved. But listen, friend, we can get out of fellowship with the Lord. Amen. We can get out of fellowship with the Lord. Amen. And as we look at this, I got thinking about his father. Why? The father would look out the window every day and he knew his boy would be coming down the road. And as I said last night, once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe that. But do you believe that a Christian can get into sin? Absolutely. Amen. We can get into sin. You see. Because this inner man's saved, but not this outer man. This flesh still sins. Amen. We know that. But here's the thing. Let me ask this question. Can a Christian stay in sin? No. And the Father knows that. Now, I believe, and you may disagree with me tonight, but I believe if you're born again and you're a child of God, you're a prodigal. You either come to yourself and repent and come home, or if God keeps dealing with you as a child of God and you're in sin, it's a dangerous place to be.
That's right.
Amen. And He keeps dealing with you and you say, I know that's right, but I'm not going to do it. I believe He can take you to an early grave. The Bible said many sleepeth. That's speaking of the believer, but the only place in the world where they will be content is in the Father's house. And well, I would remember my brother there, and he knew he needed to be in church, but he'd bring that girl up to the church and she'd say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Usually when you're living in sin, you don't like sound preaching. Because I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take truth, and you either got to accept that truth or you got to reject that truth. And what my brother would do is he would go to these other churches, didn't have sound doctrine, things that he knew was not correct, but he was in church. And he would come, and I would look up these churches online and I'd listen to them because I wanted to see where he's going. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but he would come back to me and he would say, that preacher reminds me of you. And he wanted me to comment on those things, and I did, and I said, well, bless his heart. I was hoping for better, brother. Amen. There was a longing in his heart. You say, how do you know that? Because once you've been in the Father's house and you've been with the Father, you get down there in the far country, you may try to justify where you're at. But we know where sin leads us. And he found himself, the younger son, on rock bottom. You may be here tonight and you know that you've been saved, but you're not where you need to be. You're a prodigal. Maybe you're doing things tonight only God knows. Let me stop right here for a second. Did you know that you could hinder revival? Did you know the Holy Spirit of God is easily quenched? But there's an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, who knows everything about us.
Amen.
Whether our spouse knows about it, whether our preacher knows about it, whether daddy knows about it or whether mama knows about it. And I don't want you to have to get on rock bottom and lose everything before you come to yourself. But if your child, you're his child, he'll bring that back to your heart. That's exactly what happened to this younger son. He was down there with the the pigs. And he said there, he said, when he came, verse 17, to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I'll perish with hunger. He knew his father's servants had it better than he did. Let me say this tonight. Our Father, if you're in hard, if you're down in the far country tonight, and it's the Father's still waiting there for you. And He wants you to come to yourself. But when you come to yourself, it won't be anybody else's fault. But your own. And when you come to yourself, you'll be like He is. I'll rise and I'll go to my Father. And I've sinned before you, Father. I've sinned. I know that I've hurt your name. But Father, I'm not coming to ask you to put me back where I was. But Father, make me, as He said, one of the hired servants. You see, once his elder brother missed not only his repentance, but he missed his request. But thirdly, I want you to see that he missed his father's reception. And you can imagine as his father looked out that window day by day, knowing that his son doesn't have a pig nature. He has the nature of his father. And you see, a true child of God, he won't be happy in the pig pen. Why? Because he has the nature of his father. I don't know how it is a couple hours up the road here, but where I pastor, I've never been asked to preach a funeral that I don't ask the family, did they know the Lord? Oh yeah, they know the Lord. I've never had one person say, preacher, by their testimony, they're lost. I tell you, we better get a burden for our lost loved one. Even the ones that say, oh, I'm saved. I believe it'll bear some fruit, don't you? And I believe if they're a true child of God, they may get down there in the hog pen. But they got the nature of their father. And they won't be happy till they come to their self and get back to the Father's house. So I believe that father knew that one day he would see his son coming down that road. I remember seeing, even when I was at home, I got married when I was 17. I've been married almost 25 years. I remember when I was at home, and even my brother was out of the will of God, my sister was out of the will of God, I could still see my daddy heartbroken. I could still look through that house and see him down on his knees.
But I could see as he watched, and he knew, the father knew under the law, he knew that he could have his son stoned. The call for squandering away and for hurting his name. But what I want you to see that his elder brother, because of his attitude, he missed there. In verse 20, it says, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I tell you what a lot of us would have wanted to do. A lot of us would have read that when he saw his son afar off. He would have told his servants to go get me some hickory switches, amen. And I'm going to whip him real good. That's not what the father did. He saw his son a-coming. Can you imagine? Y'all ever smelled an old hog pen? When you get that smell on you, brother, it's hard to get it off, ain't it? Younger son wasted away, but he started thinking intelligently when he came to himself. He wasn't justifying his sin anymore. And when he came, I believe his father knew. He knew what could happen to the son, and in that culture, in that day, he was not supposed to run. He was not supposed to run, but what did he do? He ran. His younger son, old dirty, stinking, no doubt clothes. And if there was any question in that younger son's mind, as I come to myself and I'm coming to my father's house and tell my father I've sinned, his father removed all doubt. When he came running, and if they were going to stone him, they'd have had to go through the father. But he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. He loved on him. He had compassion. Fourthly, I want you to see his elderly brother. He missed, in verse 22, the robe. I believe it would have done him good, Brother Daniel, to see the rags. I believe it would have done him good to see the rags. I believe it would have done him good to see the remorse of his brother. As he was coming home, his father ran, fell on his neck, kissed him, loved on him. He said, you go get that robe. And you put it on him. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're a prodigal and your heart's not where it needs to be with God, if you're a child of God, the Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His brother not only missed the robe, but he also missed the ring. Verse 22, he said, and put a ring on his hand. That ring is the insignia of a full-grown son with all rights pertaining thereto. In other words, he didn't put him as a servant. He put him back in the place he was. Sometime when a prodigal is in the far country,
sometimes when they've been in that sin and people knows about it, sometimes it's hard for them to come back. Listen, if you're in sin, don't run from the man of God. Don't run from the house of God. Because I believe a true local New Testament Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, it ought to be an emergency room for those who are hurting.
Amen.
It's not for us to come in or for them to come in. Oh, did you know about old so-and-so down there? Do you remember? Oh, it ought to be our burden to get on our face before God and cry out for the prodigals. Maybe in this revival, you've got family members that's not here tonight that used to come faithfully. Get a burden for them. Because I truly believe that once they recognize, I've had people get out of the will of God, and I'd reach out and I would text them and try to call them, and slowly they wouldn't answer a text. They wouldn't answer a call. But if they just knew a pastor's heart, if they just knew the Father's heart, that we just want them just to come home. That we're not going to look down on them. Because if we're all honest tonight, we are what we are by the grace of God, and there is none of us exempt. Let me say that one more time. There's none of us exempt. Because his brother had the wrong attitude, he also missed the reception, the family, the friends, the food. He missed the rejoicing. And instead of going in, the Bible said he was angry. It means his heart wasn't right. He was a prodigal. And if we're not careful, we could be the ones that's still here in the church and have the wrong hearts, the wrong attitude, the wrong activities. We miss blessings because of our absences. I don't know how many times that I've seen the Lord fall at Beulah. People get saved, the power of God be in there. People's rejoicing, getting stirred. Man, people's talking about it, and the next thing I know, there's somebody that'd been absent, and everybody's talking about it, and you look back there, and they look like a calf looking at a new gate, man. They're just as... because they wasn't there. They weren't there. Only God knows your heart tonight. First of all, he knows if you saved or you lost. If you lost, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you saved tonight, it's just first two nights. But you're right, God does want to do something here. But here's the question. He knows every one of our hearts. He knows the pastor's heart. He knows my heart. Brian, he knows your heart. We can be here. Brother Vess, we can be here and still have the wrong heart. Our attitude could be wrong. We could be angry at somebody in the church. We could be angry at somebody at another church. We could be angry at somebody in our family. And that anger is built up inside.
And you can just tell when you hit on it, when you talk to them about that individual. I mean, they're gritting their teeth, their jaws are just like it right there. I mean, they're, no, I'm okay. What's wrong? You're okay. I know this tonight. Will not be easy for your flesh. But if you're here tonight and you've got something on your heart, and when you think of that individual or that situation and you're so angry, you're missing the blessings that God has for you. And I don't know, brother, this week will be determined by our obedience. I believe that letting God speak to us as an individual. You can be a prodigal and be here at home. Let the Holy Spirit of God search your heart tonight. Is there someone or something in your life when you hear a certain name, your countenance changes? I'm not only praying for revival here at Valley View, I'm praying for revival in Buchanan. One thing that I've learned, knocking on doors, going up and down the valleys, people say, I used to go to this church. I used to go to this church. I used to go to this church. And something happened. And I'm a firm believer, if God's people lay that old pride aside and let God search their hearts. Because see, the other individual may be the one that done you wrong, but you've held bitterness in your heart and anger in your heart all those years, and you're just as wrong as they are. And you think it's hurting them, but really it's robbing you of your victory. It may be hindering this revival this week. It may be hindering this revival. I'm not standing up here preaching something that I don't practice. I have searched my heart. A couple years ago, I was teaching on church discipline, and boy, I was on my face. I said, God, if there's anybody I need to call, you bring them to my heart, I'll call them. Not easy to do. God brought two preachers to my heart. One from North Carolina and one just in a community right above. I was just a kid preacher preaching in revival with this preacher from North Carolina. And I had the wrong heart. Something he said to me, I had the wrong heart. He didn't know it, but I knew it. And I called him. I said, you may not even remember this, but I've been in here studying. God brought you to my heart. He said, I don't remember it, but you don't owe me no apology. I said, yeah, I do. Called another preacher. A preacher, I'd preach many meetings for him. I said, preacher, God brought you to my heart. Have I done anything to you? No, preacher, you ain't done to me. I said, the only thing I can think of is this. And I told him. He starts weeping and crying. He said, no, preacher, God just knew I needed to hear from you today. I went back and told Beulah Baptist Church. I said, some of you have come from other churches and you've not made it right. Or maybe you're carrying something from somewhere else. And man, people started going to other churches, man, making these things right with people. That's when you can have revival. When you lay down that old stinking pride and realize that it's not about you, but it's about
the Lord Jesus Christ. Two sisters that hadn't spoken in years. She called me, that lady called me, and she said, "Preacher," I said, "this is what Jesus said about it. You make sure your heart's right, and you call not to argue or anything like that. You call and say, 'Hey, I've held these feelings against you, and I'm sorry.'" Boy, they were mended. Here a while back, I even searched all the way back to my youth in my heart. And I called two people in my family, and I went. They didn't even know what I was talking about. But you know what they did? They accepted it. Because at the end of this thing, when somebody thinks of Dwayne Dillard, I don't want it to be those things that I knew I could take care of. How bad do we want the blessings of God? The blessings of God are here for the taking. That elder son had it there. His brother had come halt. And the father left it open. We're missing, Brother Brian, a lot of blessings because we have the wrong attitude. Brother Boone, I'm not here to waste people's time tonight. I'm not here this week to waste people's time. But I do know this, God will honor His Word, and God the Holy Spirit, He knows every heart. And if you want to get victory in your life, if you're saved, you let God show you your attitude. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? I think sometimes we do struggle, brother, when we're preaching. Because listen, friend, if there's not liberty there, the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And your attitude coming in here tonight, my attitude coming in here tonight, can be a stumbling block to this meeting and to what God really wants to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. What is it tonight that you're missing? Because maybe your attitude is not right towards a certain situation, a certain person. I'm going to ask the dear sister to play softly. We need revival tonight. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We need a stirring in our souls. I wonder, what are we missing? Because our hearts are not right. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss the blessings of God." You don't have to. I ask Pastor Boone to come. If you're here lost tonight, Jesus will save you. He's dealing with your heart tonight.
Pastor asked me to share something as folk come tonight. I've shared a little bit about my brother, and I love my brother. But last Wednesday night, been 6 or 7 years, 6 years, Brother Paul, since we've got to stand in church and sing together. We was practicing there, and he started weeping and crying. He said, it feels so good to be back up here doing something for God. And he shared some things with me there, and he said, Dwayne, he said, I went to Mom and Dad, and I asked him to forgive me for all the times that I hurt him. He said, I called the lady's husband, ex-husband, and said, you may not want to talk to me, but God's changed my heart. I'm asking you for forgiveness. That fella said, that's water under the bridge. What I'm telling you tonight is this. God knows the heart, and when God knows the heart, if you are His child, He wants you at His house. I believe when He deals with your heart and you want to please Him, and when you repent, guess what? You'll go make those things right. I believe that. I've seen God do it. I've seen God do that through Him, to go and apologize to people. Sit in the prayer room and say, if I've done anything to offend any of you all, I'm sorry. We need that in this day. We need prodigals to come home. Would you come tonight?
Amen.
Bless Him, Lord.
Be open for you to come down and listen, man. What a blessing. I know Brother Dwayne's brother, and I know a lot more of the story than he's told you about it. But man, I mean, God broke his heart, man. He is a child of God. He's saved, man. And I mean, there's just no way. We, you know, like Brother Dwayne said, listen, you'll either repent or God will kill you. I mean, He'll chasten you, and it can be to death if you're saved. And but then also, you know, if you're not a child of God, you know, there's conviction here, man. I mean, there's that same Father, he's not willing that any should perish, that all can come to repentance. I mean, people can, you can be saved. I mean, He's still looking. He's looking out. He's looking. The Word of God's being preached, and the Word of God goes out. And that Word of God that goes out, it's designed to draw men to Himself. That people can be saved. They can see themselves in the hog pen. Down in the, just down at rock bottom. You don't have to get to rock bottom. You know, we can just turn to Him. Man, we can have that Heavenly Father. We can say we have a Father in heaven. If God spoke to your night, to your heart tonight, you come and Paul's going to come and you're going to lead us in a song of invitation. You come to this altar. If you're here tonight, you know what? You might not be sure about your salvation. You know, we don't know. You know, really, that's basically we don't know. A lot of people might look at that prodigal son and say, well, that guy was lost. I'm going to tell you what, he had a father. And that father was watching. He might have been, but he might have looked at that life of his and said he was lost. On the other hand, there is people that's lost. There's people that's lost. And they don't know the Lord. And so this, you know, this is what it's all about. People being saved, Christians being right with God. Saved. So you have an opportunity to get saved tonight. God spoke to your heart about that. We never know. Brother Dwayne and I was talking about it today. We don't know what part of the message is going to affect somebody, how it's going to affect somebody. And it'll be some part that we had no idea. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you need to be saved. Come in here and get right. As Paul leads us in a song, the altar is open. And if you want to be saved, I'm here to pray with you. Brother Dwayne, pray with you. Anybody, my wife will pray with you. You come down here and get saved. If you're not, if you're here and there's something What's in your life? What is it? What is it that, what keeps you from getting a blessing? What is it? What are you holding back? Everything that you hold back from God is hindering you from some blessing that God can give you. Every single thing. What is it? There's something in your life. Why don't we get that under the blood, confess that, boy, and get it under the blood and get right with God. What, you'll experience the joy that the Father and the first Son had.
Thank you, Pastor, Brother Dwayne. Let's stand together. Hymn number 280, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come.
What a blessing now to show you how God works. Paul didn't know what the message would be. He got with Kathy on what we was going to sing for an invitation. What a song to sing at the end of that message.
Huh?
Sinner, come home. That's how God works it out. Huh? Sinner, come home. The prodigal son, and listen, the elder son, come home. This is what God's wanting for us to do. And so, listen, appreciate that, Brother Dwayne. What a message for us. And we got two more nights is the plan right now to go on with that. I still think there's a little blockage with God working like he could. There's something, you know. And we just keep praying. And we don't know. And God knows, but we're going to lift Brother Dwayne up in prayer. I know you other pastors and churches, you're going to be having churches at your church tomorrow night, and we'll pray for them as well. And if you can come back Thursday night, that'd be a blessing to us and be a blessing to you as well. Keep us in prayer there, and we'll see what God's going to do a couple more nights. And I know Brother Les is coming. Dwayne's father-in-law is a pastor. They're coming down. And Amanda's going to come, and she's a piano player too. And she's coming down on Thursday night, so that's going to be a blessing to us. Amen. Maybe Brother Dwayne and Amanda, maybe that's, we got somebody else going to sing, but they can sing together pretty good too. And so looking forward to that, and I appreciate Brother Dwayne being here. It's a load when you're a full-time pastor. He's got a pretty fair-sized church. To come and be with us, and there's a sacrifice there of time and energy to preach for us, and I appreciate you being attentive to his preaching, and you keep thinking about this. Keep thinking about this. God speaks to your heart, not us. The Word does, and if you need to be saved, man, just no present, no time like the present to be saved. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and be dismissed.